All right, you're tuned in to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM WMDX with your girl Brandi Grayson, the hostess with the mostest. Of course, I'm super excited to be here today. My co-host cousin Clyde stood me up again, so if you guys see him, talk to him, tell him that's a no-no, that's a no-call, no-show. Okay, tell him we might have to terminate him next time. But anyway, I'm super excited. Urban Triage, as some of you may know, I am the founder and CEO of Urban Triage, which is a nonprofit organization serving the greater Dane County area. And we had our fourth annual kickback this past weekend. And it was really, really good. We had a great time. We had about 1,500 people or so come through the park. We fed them lots of food. We had like three food carts. We had an obstacle course. We had two bouncy houses. We had a climbing wall. We had cotton candy. We had popcorn. We had a live band. We had an R&B singer. And this year we had bingo. And this all happened at Penn Park in Madison, Wisconsin, for free. And bingo was actually way more popular than we even planned for. Like, everybody was excited about bingo and the gifts and the cash prizes. And I wish we would have planned for it. I mean, young people, old people, middle-aged people. Luke, do you play bingo?
I haven't played bingo in a while.
I have never played bingo.
Oh, I've played before. Like, that was for when you turned 18, like, a lot of friends were like, oh, we can finally go to, like, Pato and go play bingo. And it's like, all right, we'll do that.
That was the thing to do.
Yeah, there was a lot of friends liked to do that because it was like one of those things that you all of a sudden could do.
Could do because you were 18. Yeah, so our kickback, everybody was so excited about bingo. So next year we're going to make it bigger and better. We're actually going to separate our bingo tent from our entertainment tent, because we did have some feedback that some of our elders didn't really like the DJ that was in the booth. The music was too loud for them. So we're going to remove that for next year. And we're super excited for next year. Every year, our kickback, our community event gets bigger and better. So I just wanted to give y'all an update on that. We had such a blast. And how am I doing? I don't know how I'm doing. Luke, how are you doing this week with everything that's happening in our wonderful world?
It's only been a week.
Yeah, it's only been a week.
It's been a jam-packed week. That's what, it's been wild.
It has been wild. Like, every time I turn up, I turn on the news or watch anything, something is happening. Someone's saying something. What's the most, thing? What's the thing that you heard this week that you were like, what the is that?
Oh, that's a good question. That's what the WTF moment this
like,
week.
Yeah, like, what the?
The immediate calling of Vice President Kamala Harris being a DEI candidate all of a sudden.
Yes.
That one got me to stop and say, what's going on with that?
In other words, AKA white translation, Negro, kind of like calling people an N-word now. DEI kind of represents something else, doesn't it? I'm not surprised by that. One of the things I've said since she has been nominated by the Democratic Party is that people known as Black, and specifically Black women, really have to take care of themselves, because there's going to be a lot of attacks on the value, not only of women, but the value of Black women specifically, and not just a Black woman, but a Black Jamaican immigrant / Indian / Asian woman. In the first time of the history of America, we have a woman with all these intersections that's nominated to be president. And it is a huge deal. It's a huge deal. And a lot of the conversations that I'm hearing that takes me back, where I'm like, what the heck, you know, is not from white people, because I feel like and specifically white, it don't even matter. But what's the most shocking conversations that I'm hearing is actually from Black men, and Black men who classify themselves as Israelites, so Hoteps, tips or hot tips, whatever they call themselves. Do you know what I'm talking about, Luke? The Israelites and hot tips. Do you call them hot tips?
I don't know that terminology. I don't.
One of those moments where me and Luke's looking at me like, what the heck are you talking about? And this is why Clyde should be here right now, right?
Yes, like he could help me out.
Right, he could help you out and define it, because I'm not really sure what it is either. But they do call them hot tips. It's kind of like they have their own definition of where people known as Black come from and how they define the stories in the Bible. But one of the things that they do and been saying is that they're voting for Trump. And they're voting for Trump because they feel like Trump, I know one of the one of the things that he said, a person on Facebook said, was, I'm voting for Trump because Trump gave historical Black colleges $500 million. And for me, that's it. That's enough for me to vote for him. And I'm like, what? What? Like, are you serious? Do you not know this man's track record? Do you not know that this same man, during a time where police murders are happening left to right, not to mention at his own Republican National Convention in Milwaukee, a Black person was murdered a couple blocks outside of the convention or down the street or whatever by police that were from Ohio. And at this time, he's like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to give police their power back. We're going to give police immunity from prosecution. So what you're telling me, Black men or Black man, so we don't want to make general statements, but this dude, along with some other dudes, and I'm not going to say this is predominantly the voices of Black men because I don't believe it, but oftentimes the negative voices or the should've or could've voices or the voices that I wish would really just shut up are often the loudest. So this person's like, yeah, let's vote for Donald Trump because he's going to, you know, give us money. He's going to give us stipends. He gave the historical Black colleges $500,000 and he cares about Black people, whereas Kamala Harris doesn't really care about Black people. And some of these hoteps, Israelites, are even questioning her Blackness. Now, this is the thing about Blackness, and I don't know if people know this, but Blackness is a dominant gene, you know, and I'm not saying that whether she's biracial or not, that excludes her from being Black. I'm saying that for the first time in history, we have a woman, first of all, a woman who intercepts with being an immigrant, her family being an immigrant, one from Jamaica, another from India, and she looks Black to me. So if we're going by the skin color or text, she looks like she got some Negro features to me. And arguing that she hasn't done enough for Black people. Now, this is the thing that I want to point out to people about Kamala Harris. And being a Black woman, period, in leadership, or a biracial woman or whoever, because Obama was biracial as well, and no one questioned his Blackness. I don't know if it's because of his swag or the way he moved or the way he shook Black hands or whatever, but Black people never questioned this Black man's Blackness, and his mama was white, right? So I just want to remind us of a couple of things. One, this is historical. Two, this is revolutionary. Three, Kamala is backed by Divine Nine. And if you don't know nothing about, you know what Divine Nine is?
I know what they are and what they do, but I don't know a whole lot more beyond that.
Yeah,
I know
me neither.
The black sororities and fraternities.
Yeah, black sororities and fraternities. But what we do know is that they're pretty powerful, right? And when I say powerful, I mean a lot of folks that join these organizations. I'm not part of neither one of the organizations. Not that I wouldn't be, because again, I'm not having that conversation. But what I will say is that they're powerful, they have influence, and they have money, right? It's part of a lot of folks who are considered in the Black community as Black bourgeoisie, which is folks who classified or distinguished by class, right? Privilege and influence are part of Divine Nine. Some of them are police officers, some of them are professors, some of them are, they just hold influential positions. And this woman, because she's part of Divine Nine, I don't know if she did that as a political move, which I think a lot of people do join sororities and fraternities as a political move and just to have access points to networks. If she did join for that reason, it was a great reason. And Divine Nine is going to make sure she gets the money that she needs to campaign. Do y'all know this Black woman? And I'm going to call her Black. And I hope it makes everybody listening who doesn't believe that she's Black upset and uncomfortable because this black woman raised over $43 million in 24 hours?
Yeah, it was a wild amount of money.
Ooh, Lord, I am so excited. Y'all just don't know how much that makes me excited. Now, let me just admit out loud that when she ran for vice president with Biden, I too took the stance like, is this woman black or not? And part of me taking that stance back then was because there was a lot of things that I didn't even understand about my own blackness. And I was actually kind of toxic sometimes, you know what I mean? But you ain't talking about me. But what I've learned in my own development and evolution and, you know, expansion is that when black people run for office or black people are doing things that nobody else is doing, even if you don't agree with them 100% of the time, the way politics work is that anything you say will be used against them as a black person. So what you have to learn to do is shut up. Like, why add gas to fire, right? And why perpetrate against your own people out loud? Like, nobody else does that. Maybe other people do it, but it pees me off more when I see my own people doing it. You don't have to agree with her. You don't have to agree with her because she's a prosecutor. You don't have to agree with her because she has been heavily involved in criminal justice. You don't even have to agree with her because honestly, she hasn't taken a stance against police brutality. Like, she has not, and she has not prosecuted a cop. She has never said that she would. She has also taken stance and taken them back. And even with all of that, I will support her. And you want to know why? Because it's a revolution. It's revolutionary. And we know she supports LGBTQI rights. We know she supports women rights and reproduction rights. We know that outside of what Trump is going to give us, which is boo-boo, that at the very least, I can go and make choices about my own body. So I don't know. I'm really excited about Kamala Harris running for office and her nomination. I'm really excited about black women power and how we've shown up, will show up. $243 million in 24 hours is outrageous. And not only that, I think they had a call one night with all black women, and then they had a call the next night with all black men. And not only did black women show up and give millions, so did black men. I can't remember the amount, but it was a few million dollars that black men raised for Kamala Harris. So again, I'm excited about the possibility and opportunity for people known as black to come together and have a movement and a moment. You're listening to 92.7 FM. Your girl, Brandi Grayson, on the Black Conversion Show. Continue to listen because I got some to talk about. Okay. We'll be back in a minute and we're going to talk about the murder of Sonya Massey. What a shame. I don't know if you guys seen the video, but it has been shocking. It has been confusion and it has been painful for people known as black. We'll be back in a jiff. Like a grandma with a peppermint. They say, oh, she smell good. That's just cause I'm heaven sent. Game goes stupid, stepping like a toothpick. Man, I tell the truth, your opinion is irrelevant, but I know you think I'm fine. Your hostess with the mostest, Brandi Grayson, is back on the scene. You're listening to 92.7 FM WMDX, the Black Conversion Show. So, of course, we're talking about the nomination and our soon-to-be president, current VP, Vice President Kamala Harris. Super excited about her nomination. Super excited about the possibility and opportunity for people known as black to unite and to just do what we do. I know this morning, I think I read somewhere, I don't know where I read it, but Donald Trump has declined to debate her. Have you heard that, Luke?
He's been kind of going back and forth on it. Like, he was like, I don't want to do it. I'm going to do it. No, I'm not going to do it.
She's going to demolish him. What? We were so bothered by the first debate with Trump and Biden that she going to flatten him so bad. It's going to be like Charlie Hookin. You know what that's from? Luke, the sound Charlie Hookin, that what game was that back in the day when they did the little fist and it was like Charlie Hookin knockout from Nintendo?
What was it? It was I can picture it, but I
it
can't
was like
think of the
KO.
Name.
Yeah, oh, Mortal Kombat.
Yes, there we go. I was like, it's right there. I can picture them fighting back to back, like on the line.
Too.
Yeah, there you go.
And that's exactly what it's gonna look like for Donald Trump. And I'm super excited to just witness it. I'm so excited. Y'all don't know. I've watched her go in. I don't know what senator. It was like her first year as a senator, and she was questioning some governor, and I can't remember the details, but
the Brett Kavanaugh one.
Yeah, it was Brett Kavanaugh.
Yeah, when she was Brett Kavanaugh's Supreme Court hearing, yes. Or going to a circuit judge somewhere.
What? She was cutting up.
Yeah, she got him good.
Good. He couldn't. He was stuttering like, "Can you repeat the question? You heard the question." He didn't even know how to answer. And that's exactly how Trump's gonna be, because you know Trump isn't like a witty person. He's not like Obama. He's not quick. He's not.
Well, I heard somebody talk this week how, and I don't know if it's true or not, but it's very interesting. They said they've never seen Donald Trump laugh either. So not only is he not a witty person, he doesn't laugh. He can't even laugh at himself.
Really?
And so
maybe he's a robot.
I'm looking for that's one of the things kind of in the background when
I'm looking at him.
I'm looking for clips of Donald Trump laughing and I can't find
him. You can't find any. And he also was talking about Kamala Harris, VP, Vice President Kamala Harris laugh. And something, he was like, she laughs like I don't know what he said, but something about her laugh that
he called her laughing Kamala.
Yeah, and that's what, like, it was.
It's like that's not really a nickname. That's,
yeah, and it's not. It's stupid. Like, and that's the thing. Like, he says stupid things and people cheer like, oh, go ahead. Like, I don't. OK, anyway. But nevertheless, I want to remind us and all of our listeners who Trump is. And your friendly reminder that you're listening to the Black Conversion Show with Brandi Grayson on 92.7 FM. Luke, can you do me a huge favor and play the clip by Donald Trump and what he says about police and what he's going to do if he gets back appointed to president?
We're going to rebuild our cities. We're going to bring them back like they used to be. We're going to make them safe places again. We're going to give our police their power back, and we're going to give them immunity from prosecution. So they're not prosecuted for doing their job.
So
we'll take over the horribly run capital of our country, Washington, D.C., and clean up, renovate, and rebuild our capital city so that it's no longer a nightmare of murder and crime.
I just can't. So part of this is what I think we fail to recognize is what and who he incites when he says things like that, right? Like, let's bring back a real powerful police state. And for people who don't know the history of policing, the main purpose of police in our society was to catch slaves. That was the main purpose. And that has been the residue of policing in our communities throughout our country since the beginning of our time, people known as Black in America anyway. So part of what he's basically saying, well, my interpretation of Trump is, let's bring back white power. Let's bring back a country where police cannot be held accountable for murdering Black people. Now, we already have an issue with police being held accountable. And thank God with the Sonya Massey. Oh, I can't always mess up her last name. Is it Massey? Massey?
I think it's Massey.
Massey. Sonya Massey's murder. We had this dude on a body cam, like, and he was fired immediately and charged immediately. But you mean to tell me, Trump, that in a situation like that police would have had immunity for straight murdering this woman and then telling her prior to murdering her that he was going to shoot her in the face? And I think the thing that was one of the most disturbing factors is that like she said to him, I'm going to rebuke God, or rebuking the devil, or, you know what I mean? Basically like throwing water on him. Like, I rebuke you, devil, and him literally shooting in her face soon as he said that. And I just want to send out love and, I don't know, just reminding people known as Black to take care of ourselves. Because the thing about social media and watching these things and like on just watching it, it does something. It does something to our energy. It does something to how we see ourselves. It just does something in a very negative way. It brings our vibrational frequencies down. It chips away a little at a time of our humanity, watching this replay over and over again and watching the comments and the news reports about this from... I'm so sick of the word racist, because I don't think it actually embodies the demonic nature of people who lack empathy, compassion, and humanity, really. Because it's demonic to watch someone die and be murdered and then say, or somehow say, it's their fault, or somehow, I don't know. I don't even have the words, because it's so disgusting. And Luke, as a white dude, what are you feeling right now? What are your thoughts about this situation that we keep facing over and over again?
It gets frustrating because you think that every terrible encounter with police mm-hmm. and civilians like mm-hmm. this is going to be the one that all of a sudden
changes
is what changes mm-hmm. things.
Yeah.
And it just gets very depressing.
Yeah.
When that's not the case.
Yeah.
Because it's like, how many more times does this have to happen?
Yeah.
Before we're going to truly change the systems.
Yeah. Whew. And just talking about it makes my heart rush. It brings me anxiety because I have been part of grassroots organizing and part of protesting and organizing and mobilizing people around police violence. And I've stepped away from that work because it became dangerous, right? Like, it became dangerous for me because even in little small Madison, Wisconsin, when I was standing on the front line, police would follow me. They would sit in front of my house. I would get mail tickets. There was this threatening intimidation factor that was occurring. And when I turned around and looked around and I'm talking about it, there was no one around. Who's going to protect you from the police? The police is the ultimate power. They're the ultimate. They're the people that get to carry guns freely. They're the people that can charge you with resisting arrest when there's no reason to arrest you. They're the people that can charge you with disorderly conduct from speaking too loud or yelling back or standing up for your rights or repeating the law. They're the people, like Donald Trump said, that have a historical history of having power like no other, right? In our community, sitting right next to us. I want to give a big ups to the Black Cops Coalition in Madison who attended our annual kickback this last summer. They were out of uniform, but they came to be in community, to hang out, and to just be there. And I appreciate y'all. So we're not talking about all cops, but when we get back, I want to continue the conversation. Again, you're listening to the hostess with the mostest, Brandi Grayson, CEO of Urban Triage out of Madison, Wisconsin. This is the Black Conversion Show. And on this show, we talk about Black issues, Black things, community things, and all the analysis that go along with it. Stay tuned because I am not done running my mouth. We'll be back in the GIF. Okay, it's your girl, Brandi Grayson, on 92.7 FM, WMDX. You're listening to the Black Conversion Show. And we are, you know, just talking about what we talk about all the time. And one of the things, of course, we're talking about is Vice President Kamala Harris and all the stuff that's surrounding her and the murder of Sonya Massey. But one of the things I want to point out about Kamala Harris is, and I want to acknowledge, because I think sometimes as folks who are, I don't know, so in support of a person or a political figure, we often forget to talk about ways or things that she may have not taken the best stance on. One of the things that continuously come up regarding Vice President Kamala Harris is that her stance on, she did this re-entry program around truancy, I believe, which infected like millions of, not millions, oh my God, exaggerating this. I'm sounding like Trump. It was 5 million people. But the program really had a negative impact on Black and vulnerable populations. And she later came and said, I wish I made a different choice. I wish I would have done something different. I didn't understand the impact that it would have. And this is the thing that I want to remind all of us of, and especially people in influential positions, is one, if you're not engaging or know your community, if you don't know how policies and procedures impact the most vulnerable, then you're not doing the work that you need to do. And my hopes for Kamala is that she get people on her team that are connected to the community. And one of the people that in our community that's running for office is Dana Pelabon, who's running for county exec, another Black woman doing her thing. And I want to point out of all the people that are running for county exec for Dane County, She's the only one that's on the ballot that knows her community, that has been connected to the community. And I mean, not just know it because she hangs out and takes PR pictures, but she knows the community because she sits on the boards. She's in the trenches. She's doing the work. She's done housing work, homeless work. I believe she was the executive director at Porch Light, which runs all kind of housing programs for folks who are chronically homeless. They have a day shelter, a night shelter. They have transitional units. She was the executive director of that. She's currently the executive director of the Rape Crisis Center. She also is huge in our community in theater and art. She's produced theater plays. So Dana Pelabon, to me, is a perfect example of someone who doesn't just talk the talk, but walks the walk. And my hope for Kamala, Vice President Kamala Harris, is that she does the same thing, that she learns from her mistakes, and that she uses this moment in history where the folks that's going to have her back the most. And let me tell you, if you want to win anything, you want to go anywhere, you should have Black women. There's something about Black women. We come out, we show out, we going to do what we said we're going to do. We're going to push you forward. We're going to organize. There's not a civil rights movement in the history of America that didn't have Black women doing the hard work, the leg work, the grunt work. So Kamala, what I'm hoping for Vice President Kamala Harris is that she uses this opportunity to learn and to grow, because what I will not do is hold against her the mistakes of her past, because even I, a local leader in Madison, Wisconsin, have made multiple mistakes in the way that I've went about organizing and mobilizing people and taking stance against other Black people or other non-Black people. Because what I'm learning as I'm expanding is that this might sound cliche, but if we're not coming from love, we are mimicking and mirroring the thing that we said that we're fighting against. Because what we're really saying that we want to eliminate and eradicate is fear. White folks who are out here spilling hate, or and sometimes Black people too. So now it's just not white people. It's white people, Black people, brown people, Asian people. People are upset anytime that we want to push the envelope, change the status quo, and do something different. They just get bothered, and they're bothered because they're rooted in fear. And the one thing I'm learning to do is to move from the place of love. And I know that's hard. It's cliche. It's like, what would Jesus do? But it doesn't matter what philosophy you come from, spirituality you come from, even if you don't come from one at all. The fact of the matter is that we get to cause and create our reality, and we get to do it from a place. We have to do it and practice and be deliberate in doing so from a place of love. So even though someone's spilling hate, back to what Michelle Obama said was, they go low, we go high. And we have to. And even when she said it, y'all, I was mad. I was like, what, girl? Ain't nobody going high. If you go low on me, I'm gonna meet you even lower. We going to the depths of hell. Let's get it. Let's go. Now, that's the old Brandi Grayson, okay? The one who has done the inside work and continue to do the inside work is, yeah, let's move from love, because love produces more love, and love is a place and foundation of creation. So I'm going to ask us to do that for Kamala Harris, is to extend love and grace for a Black woman in leadership, and who's doing something nobody has ever done. There's no manual, there's no equation. So yeah, let's do something different. Again, you're listening to 92.7 FM, your girl Brandi Grayson on the Black Conversion Show. I also want to mention real quick, I was interviewed by Spectrum News yesterday about Kamala Harris, and I think they wanted something different. They were like, we've also interviewed Representative Sheila Stubbs regarding Kamala Harris. So what the news often does, and I don't know because I haven't seen it yet. I don't know what's been produced from this interview. But what I'm hoping did not happen is they put me in like a parallel with her, because I feel like that's what they were trying to do, like put us against each other, like just compose. They used to do that a lot with me and Michael Johnson from the Boys and Girls Club. I no longer respond to like that kind of like people do it all the time. I no longer respond to it because, again, I'm doing my best to root myself in love, and I don't have to agree with people, and I also don't have to disrespect people, right? Like, that's the thing I'm working on, not to go so low, because I be wanting to jab people because they be coming. Lord, they be coming. Amen. But one of the things with the Spectrum interview is that he asked me, he was like, I'm from poverty, and one thing people are saying is that Kamala Harris does not relate to poor people, that it's a class issue, and she's not going to take a stance for Black vulnerable people. And I said to him, even if she wanted to take a stance for poor Black people, she could not. That we have to remember that she's playing chess, not checkers, and that we have to remember that this is a game, a politics. She has to deal with and address issues that will galvanize the most people. And right now, those issues include reproduction rights and LGBTQI and gun violence. That is her platform. And there might be some other stuff there, but those are the three primary things that stood out to me as her stance against gun violence, which is real. And especially in the Black community, we lose people all the time in our community. We just learned the other day that Kaisha, a 15-year-old girl that was murdered last summer in Madison, Wisconsin, one of her killers was arrested the other day. And it's just I don't know, y'all. Reading who it was who was found to be part of her murder, the young man that was found to be part of her murder was a young man I knew since a baby. And knowing her mom and knowing what it took out of her and took from her family and took from our community, I think gun violence has to be on the platform. It has to be. We have to have better gun laws and better gun control. And we have to get real with how poor children who can barely eat, don't have opportunities, don't have resources, have access to guns. It's absolutely ridiculous. But anyway, I kind of digress and I'm all over the place. But I just want to remind us again that if the challenge that we have in politics is people want to hit low. They want to talk about what people aren't doing when we really need to look at the macro. We got to look at the context in which we exist. We exist in a white supremacy patriarchal society. So we always have to take the lesser of the evils. Most of the things that's around us is rooted in evil. Most of the things around us is rooted in the dehumanization of people, Black people, brown people, and women. Most of the things around us doesn't reflect back humanity, because our communities and the status quo, in order for power to continue to exist, someone has to be inferior. Someone, because remember, y'all, we live in a relative dimension. That's a relationship. A relationship always has to exist. There has to be a poor to be a rich. There has to be a short to have a tall. There has to be a Black to have a white. So when people say, well, she doesn't stand for this or that, we have to remember that she really can't, because she's playing chess and not checkers, right? But what we can do after getting her elected is hold her accountable, right? And also at the same time, cultivate our own children and our next leaders to take on positions of power and to support that. So anyway, I'm going to stop talking about Kamala Harris, Vice President, girl, because I could talk about her all day. I have so many opinions about her, but big ups to Spectrum News for the interview. But what I'm hoping is that they don't put me and Sheila like trying to make us different. Or I think what they were trying to do actually is get me to say that she will not support poor people or she's not the right candidate. I will not. I am not the Brandi Grayson you knew to 3 years ago. I'm the Brandi Grayson that's always going to look at situations at what is the best for our community and what is the worst. And for all my Hotep, Hittep, Israelite people listening, my men that have been saying crazy stuff, I hope you guys really realize what it looks like for folks to come and take reproductive rights away from women. Like the women that you're out here, your side chicks who are having you, that's getting pregnant, they won't be able to go and have abortions, right? Y'all barely want to pay child support. You darn sure don't want to get these kids. And now you want to support someone who takes away the white rights of women. This is absolutely insane. And you want to support a man who said we need to give more immunity to cops who are literally killing Black men at a rate that's indescribable. And who shows up for Black men when it goes down? I'm 100% sure it's Black women and folks of LGBTQIA, the same folks you despise sometimes. So just getting into that, but I'm gonna move on. I want to talk about this Supreme Court judge in New York City, Aaron somebody. What is her last name? Luke, Aaron Gala, Gula. Okay, Erin Gall, New York City judge. Drunk as heck. I think she was drunk. She's at a graduation party. A friend of hers was hosting a graduation party. Her son was there. There were some black kids there, and they got into a scuffle of some sort. And the black kid got in a scuffle with her kid. And I just want you guys to listen to this. This is why it's so dangerous to appoint and or elect people who don't see the humanity of all. Go ahead, Luke.
New York Supreme Court Justice Erin Gall. Is this you?
Order be shot on the property.
Well, I'm just every day.
I'll shoot them on the property.
New video just released capturing State Supreme Court Justice Erin Gall threatening to shoot a group of black teenagers.
They'll be shot on the property.
Well, I'm just letting you know that.
Because
the best case
when
scenario,
they trespass, you can shoot them on the property.
They should just come here and just...
No, I'm just saying.
I'll shoot them on the property.
The judge was at a high school graduation party at her friend's house. During the scuffle, the teens lost the keys to their car and couldn't leave the neighborhood, appearing to upset Gall, who wanted the children to leave, but refused to turn over their car keys if she found them.
If the key turns up,
we're absolutely going to throw it in the toilet. You're welcome.
Somebody's sister's coming to pick them up and get them out of here, and I'm going to get his information. And if we find the keys,
put him in the back of the cop car and let him wait there.
Five law enforcement agencies arrived on the scene during the more than hour-long ordeal, during which the New York State Commission on Judicial Conduct said the judge repeatedly invoked her judicial office.
And that's Judge Gall. I'm a judge. I'm telling you, get off the
I'm sitting here. Violence. I'll shoot them on the floor. I have to clear it out.
And both criticized and pledged favor treatment for the police.
The good part is, I'm always on your side. You know I'd take anyone down for you guys. You know that. You know that.
Okay, look, I know there's more to that, y'all. There's more to the clip. But I'm just dumbfounded by this woman. Like, girl, like, you're drunk and you are a judge of the Supreme Court in New York City, and you're threatening to shoot children, right? You're threatening to kill them. And then she later on talks about how her son gave them the smackdown. And I'm really confused about that. So you're bragging about the violence that your children bestowed upon another person's body. You're saying that even if you find their keys, you will not give it to them. Y'all, there's so much in this. I want to talk. We got to dissect this. So you got to continue to listen. You're listening to 92.7 FM, the Black Conversion Show, with your hostess with the mostest, Brandi Grayson. So just stay tuned, because this judge in New York City has literally lost her mind. And she's also the kind of person that Trump would appoint to a high position. This is Trump's kind of people when we talk about police and all of this stuff. Like, this is absolutely ridiculous. And I hope that as a country, we can show up differently this election. Stay tuned. I'll be back in a jiff. All right. Ooh, did it start? Okay. Well, I can't hear myself. Okay. All right. You're back with Brandi Grayson on 92.7 FM. You're tuned into the Black Conversion Show. Your hostess with the mostest. I know y'all love me. But we were talking prior to the break about a judge in New York City, Erin Gucagot. I don't know. Luke, what are your thoughts about what we just heard? Is this your first time hearing that?
That was the first time I heard that clip, yes.
Yeah, and how does that make you feel? What are your thoughts?
One of my least favorite things is when you have somebody that's in, like, elected office or the position of power, like a judge, that then starts throwing that around when law enforcement are on this. Like, do you know who I am? Kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And that it's the worst.
Yeah, and the fact that she kept on saying, and I'm for cops, I always have your back. Meaning, just like Trump, that no matter what y'all do, I'm going to show up and make sure you don't get prosecuted because I'm a judge, right? I'm going to always defend you. That's what I heard. That's how I translated. And the cop like, okay, I get it. I know who you are, but you can't.
he had to like stop her. You're like, I get it, ma'am. You've said it a couple times now.
But you're sitting here threatening children and you're refusing to give. And it wasn't even her house. It wasn't her house. It wasn't her place. And then she started accusing them of trespassing. First of all, they were not trespassing. That's why they don't really get into a lot of the details in the news. But this is crazy. I hope they remove her. I'm praying that they would. They will. But this is a perfect example of how dangerous it is to have people in positions of power who don't see the humanity of all and who are moving really from a place of fear, and so much fear that it becomes demonic. That's how I see it. Like when you move from so much fear, when you're afraid of someone because of their skin color, you become demonic. It actually dehumanizes you as a person. It is so sickening. So anyway, we're going to move on from the demons. What I want to talk about again is the community stuff. So as you guys know, we had our event last Saturday. It went amazing. So big ups to all of our sponsors, UW Health especially, who always shows up. Shiva Badar, who always shows up. Thank you for your support. And all of our other sponsors, thank you, thank you, thank you. We are hosting on September 7th, 6 weeks later. Oh my God, my team is exhausted. So shout out to the Urban Triage Squad. When I say my team is amazing, they come through, they come through. So one of the things that distinguish our community events from others is us as an organization, we pride ourselves on serving the community. So not only are we hosting the event, but we're serving people. We always make sure that we have golf carts to move elderly and other folks around the park or the area for accessibility. We make sure we have folks assigned to activities areas to run errands for people. If you want water, if you want food, people are going to go get it. Like, our job is to serve our community, and we take it very seriously. And the reason being is because people known as Black and other populations, vulnerable populations, are often seen as non-deserving, less than human, and they're also associated with stigmas. So if you come into our office, it is so incredibly important to me that our office reflects a home that is clean, that is colorful, that it smells good, that there's flowers, that there's always something that makes you feel like I'm at home. If you go into a lot of nonprofit offices, you will find it feeling kind of stale, almost like a jail or a hospital. Why are we serving people and making it even feel yicky to even walk into the offices? So Urban Triage, we pride ourselves on being the humanity, right? We pride ourselves on seeing people humanity and reflecting it back because of the lack of humanity in our society at times. So anyway, join Urban Triage on September 7th for our third annual Harvest Festival. Our Harvest Festival is held out in Verona at the Farley Center from 3 to 8 p.m. And this is a little bit more adult focused, but also family friendly, as well as our kickback is more like kids friendly. Everything for kids. We have so much stuff for kids is ridiculous. But our Harvest Fest is located on our farm. We run an agriculture program that's called Supporting Healthy Black Agriculture. We provide entrepreneurs with access to direct access points to farming. We provide entrepreneurs with supports and resources for entering agriculture ventures. So if you're a Black farmer in Wisconsin, we are here to help connect you to different funding sources. We also, in our Supporting Healthy Black Families programming, we teach Black folks and vulnerable folks how to farm, how to garden. We set up garden beds throughout Dane County. We also have a garden at the city capitol in conjunction with other farmers and agencies that we take care of and grow produce. So check us out. Say hi if you see us out there tending to the garden on the Capitol. Our agriculture program is huge. It's a huge success. We have 2 acres of land, which we grow everything from collard greens to every green that you could name, to peanuts, to squash, to different squashes, to okra, we grow watermelon. We grow so much, y'all. And then we give out free produce. We harvest every week, and then we give out free produce to our community. So if you're interested in getting free produce, come and see us on Thursdays from 12:30 to 4:30 at our office located at 2312 South Park Street, Madison, Wisconsin. No, you don't have to prove your income or any of that. You just walk in and say, here, I'm here for the produce, and we'll give you a bag of produce. And everything's free. Everything's organic. We use no chemicals at all. So some of our greens have little bug bites because that's what it looks like when it's organic, okay? But shout out to Farley Center Social Justice, where our farm is hosted. I mean, they host our farm. They're amazing family. It's a family-ran nonprofit, and they offer other farmers and folks who want to enter agriculture land. It's like an incubator. But they've been so good to us that we don't ever want to leave. One day we're hoping we'll get our own land, but we're like, do we really want to leave the Farley Center? So come check us out. Our Harvest Fest, September 7th from 3 to 8 p.m. It's huge, y'all. We have acrobats. We have aerialists, people all up in the air. We have jugglers, people who juggle things, nighttime juggles, light up. We have a live band, the Cigarette Break Band. They come from Milwaukee every year, and they're amazing. We have spoken word. We, of course, have a live DJ that take over after a certain time. We have children activities. We have free food. And guess what, y'all? This particular event, we have complimentary wine and beer, and it don't get any better than that. And we also need donors and sponsors. You can find our sponsors package on our website at urbantriage.org. That's urbantriage.org. So visit us, support agriculture, support back Black agriculture. It is our hope to get as many Black people back into agriculture and really understanding the power of putting your hands in the dirt. It is healing. It is a very healing experience. Our program also includes families. So we not only teach adults, but they also allow to bring out their children to the farm. And the Farley Center also have a beehive. They do honey. They do everything. And they have a burial site at the Farley Center. So anyway, check out Urban Triage on September 7th from 3 to 8 p.m. I'm going to continue to give us, you know, plugs. You know what I'm saying? So again, I really appreciate today. You're listening to 92.7 FM, the Black Conversion Show with your girl, Brandi Grayson. And I am out, and I'll see you next week.